Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Arjun Gupta, who plays Penny on Sci-Fi Channel's The Magicians, a show that I am truly, truly beginning to enjoy. Welcome, Arjun.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Summer. I should say I'm a huge fan of you because Summer Bishop, who plays Margot, has become one of my close friends. So I love talking to other Summers in the world.
There's not enough of us. There needs to be more Summer, right?
Who's going to argue with that?
So first off, how familiar were you with the character in the books before you landed the role?
I wasn't, actually. I actually somehow did not know that the magicians were out in the world until, you know, I got the script for the audition. I think this was August of 2014. And I did the audition because I was really excited about the script. And then, you know, when I was realizing that there are books, I was like, I got to hold off. Because if I read these before I get the part, or before I go back for a callback, I'm going to, you know, I was afraid of getting too attached to the material, falling too much in love with it, and then messing up myself in the auditions. So I waited until I was fortunate enough to get the part, and then I read the book.
Did they recommend you keep to some certain traits in the book and avoid some others, or did they just let you build your character as you saw him?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a great conversation around that idea of, you know, how much, I mean, it's a big battle that we face, is how much do we honor, how much do we hold true to the story, and how much are we shifting? And I think John and Sarah, you know, as our showrunners and creators, have done an amazing job of balancing adapting for the medium, because things do change for TV and they should change for TV, but staying true to what Lev created. I think that for the six of us in the cast, actually most of the people in the cast, and you know, our writers, we all love the books. I mean, we're very passionate about the stories and the world that Lev created in. So it was a natural thing to honor what he created. I think that I was in a fortunate position because Penny in the book, you know, he kind of comes in and out of the story a lot. He'll disappear for like several hundred pages and then come back for a little bit and disappear again. And that was kind of, you know, I'm grateful for that because it allowed us as a show to kind of explore the time when he's not in the story, and that gave us some freedom.
I'm a big fan of Sarah Gamble's from her time on Supernatural. We've interviewed her a couple times here on the show too, so I was
she's great.
Very excited to hear that she was taking a guiding hand in the show, because the book is a fan favorite. And we all want to see the series continue and succeed. And by the way, congratulations on getting a season two already.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been very exciting. We're thrilled to get to go back and get to play in these worlds again. I mean, I had such a blast being Penny, and, you know, I'm glad that I get to do that again.
Excellent. Now, the next few episodes coming up are Penny heavy, shall we say. Now, without going into any spoiler territory, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you're going to start to see a lot more of Penny, and you're going to get to start to see some different colors of him. You know, his relationship with Katie continues to blossom, and then there are some interesting turns that happen with that. You should start to see Penny put even in more uncomfortable situations where you get to see the sides of him that he doesn't allow people to see. So, you know, he's put in terrifying spaces. He's put in very vulnerable spaces. There's a lot that starts to happen. And he starts on a ride that kind of continues throughout the season. And it's quite the roller coaster.
What they have planned for Penny, are you excited to see how the fans react to that? Were you excited to play that?
I was so, you know, as an artist and as an actor, you know, you're so excited to get on a show because you know there's consistency. And for your first time in your life, you're like, wow, I have a stable paycheck and I know our money's coming for more than just a week on end. And that's one thing that's very exciting. And then, you know, then being out here and getting to, you know, be on exposure. But then to marry that with material that requires me to be the best actor that I can be. And it's stretching me, and it's stretching like what I'm capable of doing, and allowing me to keep growing as an artist is, I mean, I can't express how much of a blessing that was and continues to be. I was thrilled. I was thrilled when I got these scripts, and I was thrilled, and I was terrified in the best way. And I was like, whoa, how this happens, then that happens? My God. I'm really excited to see how people react. Yes, I had a great time doing it.
I can't wait to see what unfolds for everyone, because like I said, we're all fans of these books, and just seeing how that's brought to the screen is something I'm looking forward to. A lot of the special effects for some of the magic that's been done so far has been, I think, incredible. How are you guys interacting with that?
We're so blessed with the team of designers that we have up here. I'm going to take a second to shout out everyone, you know, between Rachel O'Toole, who is our production designer, to Magali Buidashi, who's does the amazing wardrobe throughout the show. But, you know, when you're talking about the magic, you're talking about our props department and our special effects team, and I'd like to shout out Darren Marco and Pat O'Brien, who was our special effects coordinator and prop master, respectively. Those guys made our jobs as actors so much easier because we got to do so many things practically. We were setting things on fire at least by the end of the season, and like, I don't know, like once or twice a week. You know, there were all that scene in episode two where I throw the chair through the mirror. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a real, that wasn't CGI. Me and Katie doing our floating sex scene was practical. So much stuff is practical, which is so exciting. And then when you can marry that with our skilled visual effects guys at Fuse FX up in Vancouver, it's been amazing. But being able to work and react to something in the moment it makes a huge difference as an actor, for sure.
Excellent. Well, I have a suggestion for your costume designer. We need more scenes of you with your shirt off, just saying.
I'm going to tell you something. There are many more coming, young lady. There are many more coming.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you have a bit of a comedic streak in you, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, Summer. I hate comedy. Let's all be serious all the time.
Oh, so tell me more about that.
I love comedy. I mean, I tend to be, I'm in general a fairly serious dude who's quite intense, but I love having a good time. You know, it's fun to come out in Penny. There's certain things towards the episode where Penny just starts getting he loosens up and is just a little reckless. And that's really fun to explore that side of him, and you'll see some fun stuff happening. Within the show itself, every scene that I work with Jason Ralph, who plays Quentin, we end up laughing so much. There was a particular episode 9 when it comes out. I'm curious to see how this translates, but you know, him and I are working together fairly extensively during that episode, and every take we were like, there were several takes that we had to stop because we just kept breaking, and we're laughing so much because we just have so much fun together. And in general, I mean, I love opportunities when I get to work on shows that have, you know, comedy in them. It's really fun. This movie that me and my friend made called French Dirty, that's just out on Netflix. It came out last Thursday, actually. You get to see where I get to show some of the comedic timing and stuff. So I love to do it all, Summer. I love to do it all.
So are you the official prankster on set, or is somebody else the top of that list?
No, that's Jason. Jason's, you know, I'm funny in conversation. I'm funny in different ways. Jason loves that physical comedy stuff. I mean, I think he would be a vaudevillian if he could, you know what I mean? I think that he was at some point in his life or some point in some different life. But he's definitely the one that loves the pranks and physical comedy. He'll always try to incorporate it into a scene. Because Penny is such an intense character, I kind of have to dampen down some of my comedic impulses when I'm on set just to stay in character. Otherwise, it'll be too hard to get back in, you know?
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned the new movie you've got on Netflix. Is there anything else you're currently working on before season 2 goes into production?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I'm out here in LA. I have a theater company out here that I started 14 months ago, in November of 2014. And me and this amazing group of 12 other people have formed this company called Ammunition Theater Company. And our first full-length play opens February 18th, this coming Thursday, out in Atwater Village in LA. And we're super excited. It's a really daring, hilarious piece, theatrical experience. Extravaganza. It's like, it's not even just a piece of theater, it's an extravaganza. It's so fun, it's so exciting. It's a risk, it's definitely a risk that I'm excited that we're taking as a group, and so I'm excited for that. And then I also host myself a podcast with a comedian friend of mine, Akash Singh, that's called American Basies, and that happens every week. Drop those on Tuesday.
Excellent. We'll have to get some links to those and get some information for the Ammunition Theater Company so people in LA can go check you guys out.
That would be great. It's going to be a really fun time. You guys will definitely have a blast.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Arjun.
Please, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's Arjun Gupta, who plays Penny on Sci-Fi Channel's The Magicians Mondays at 9 p.m. Check out the next couple of episodes and the rest of the season, obviously. We get a little bit more into Penny's character, what makes him and his magic tick. Again, thank you for chatting with us today.
Hey, thank you so much, and everyone have a beautiful weekend.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
Hello, audience. Listen to your podcast player. Now back to me. Now back to your podcast player. Now back to me. Sadly, it isn't me. But if it stopped playing pop music and switched to the Dragon Reel podcast, it could sound like me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're in a movie theater with the podcast your podcast player could sound like. What's on the screen? I downloaded it. It's a swashbuckler with a magic rapier. Look again. The swashbuckler is now an evil sorceress. Anything is possible when you listen to the Dragon Reel podcast and not music. I'm on a unicorn.
Listen to Dragon Reel, the fantasy film podcast at dragonreel.com, or subscribe on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found.
So why do the interviews that start to get really, really fun end too soon? Really need to start asking for more time, for longer interviews. And I definitely want to get Arjun back on. He's a lot of fun to talk to. He's just a lot of fun overall. I would love to see them in the theater company performing on stage, see what they're all about. And, you know, I'm up for a good stage play, especially if it's speculative horror or thriller or suspense in nature. There's just something about a live performance of a suspenseful story or a horror story that just makes it all that much more visceral. I'm not sure if that's the word I'm looking for. I'll think about it. But yeah, The Magicians is slowly growing on me. I'm enjoying the performances there. It's downplayed, but it's still not talking down. And I'm really, really enjoying some of the nuances of some of the characters that are coming across. I need to be able to have a more reliable way of watching this show and of the rest of the Sci-Fi Channel shows as they come out, because this year looks like it's going to be a very, very, very fun year. And that's something I really am trying to figure out how to be able to see all the shows I want to see without paying $200 a month to a cable company. How does one do that in this technologically advanced day and age? I thought the sci-fi app was going to be the answer that I'd been looking for, but you still need a cable subscription in order to be able to view that. That's not fair. If I had a cable subscription, I wouldn't need the app, now would I? Jeez, really, people? I need to have a way, a reliable way, to watch 12 Monkeys when it comes up. I want to watch Hunters. I need to see the rest of The Magicians. Last year, I broke down and bought Killjoy's the season pass on iTunes because I needed that show. That show was the first addictive show for me since Firefly, so just saying. But I can't do that with everything. But I want to be able to watch all of these shows and talk about them intelligently because I've seen all of the episodes, not just a few here and a few there. The inconsistent availability of the shows I want to watch, and I'm guessing a lot of other people who are cordless, who have cut their cable subscription because of, well, let's face it, financial reasons, it boggles the mind. Constantine, for instance. Constantine only had one season. We're not going to go into that now. I'm not going to dwell. I'm just going to have my sad moment, let it pass. All of season one of Constantine, plus a lot of extras, were on Hulu. Until right after they announced that El Rey would be taking over distribution or reruns of Almost Human and Constantine. For some reason, Constantine disappeared from Hulu. It disappeared from iTunes. It disappeared from Amazon Instant. That is what made no sense to me. I can understand pulling it from Hulu. Okay, fine. Why pull it from iTunes and Amazon Instant where people can continue to buy the series? And there's no DVD. There's no DVD, there's no Blu-ray, there's no box set to buy for Constantine. What am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to watch those episodes again and again? Because I want to. Hello, NBC. DVD would be nice. Pretty please. Especially since more people have been exposed to Matt Ryan as John Constantine from his appearance on Arrow. You have this character pop up. The Arrow fans are going, who's this? And they can't watch any of the episodes to find out more about this guy. And it's kind of obvious he's going to pop up again and again. But we can't watch the delicious 13 episodes we already had. That's not fair. And Sci-Fi Channel's hit and miss selection of shows that are available on streaming confuses me. If somebody could explain this to me, please call in 602-635-6976 and explain this to me, because NBC shows are available on Hulu, Sci-Fi Channel, USA, and Chiller are not. Now, when you go over to Netflix, Lost Girl is on Netflix. Continuum is on Netflix. Haven is on Netflix. Bitten is on Netflix. You go back to older shows like Eureka is on Netflix. I'm pretty sure Warehouse 13 is also on there. Even canceled shows like The Almighty Johnsons are on Netflix. And I was hoping that Killjoys would also appear on Netflix. But no, we got faked out. Dark Matter, which aired right alongside Killjoys last year, Dark Matter showed up on Netflix about 2 weeks after the season ended. Killjoys is nowhere to be seen. At first, I thought it was a production deal between, you know, different countries, but the Almighty Johnsons was purchased from Australia, New Zealand. Lost Girl and Continuum were from Canada. And thus my confusion continues. Now, I thought maybe it was a BBC thing, since the people who produce Killjoys are also the same people who produce Orphan Black. But that doesn't make any sense either, because Orphan Black is not on Netflix, but other BBC shows like Ripper Street and Doctor Who are. So I have not figured out what the rhyme or reason for that is, other than varying distribution deals with different production companies. But please, please, people, get your acts together. I want to be able to see as many shows as I can on Hulu or Netflix. Or if need be, I'll investigate Sling TV more. But I guess the point of my rant is, having these apps be tied to a cable subscription sort of defeats the purpose of having the app. And I was hoping that more people, more companies, more broadcast providers, more entertainment providers would start following what HBO has done, where you can get a version of their app where you don't have to be subscribed to HBO, you just pay a flat monthly fee. That is something to be considered. Although I wouldn't want to pay the same amount for Sci-Fi Channel that I would for HBO. Now, if they came out with an NBC Universal app where I could pick and choose which networks from the NBC conglomerate I would watch, that might be something I'd be interested in. It brings us one step closer to the a la carte mode of choosing channels that consumers have been begging for 20 years now. And don't get me started on that argument. I might not ever end it. But there needs to be a way for people to more consistently choose what they want to watch. People are losing out on entertainment because so many of the companies are saying, well, no, it's all or nothing. And they don't realize that more people are going, okay, we'll call it nothing, and just waiting. You know, I was more than willing to wait a year for 12 Monkeys or Constantine or Killjoys to come out on DVD. They're not out there yet. 12 Monkeys is not on Netflix. That's so disappointing. That's a show that deserves to be binge-watched. Really, really deserves to be binge-watched. And I have no way to binge watch it before season 2 starts in April. Yes, it's all about me and what I can watch, so there. But that's my TV rant for today. I want to watch a lot of these new shows and I can't. This makes me sad. I would love to watch Supergirl. I would love to watch some of the shows that aren't available on Hulu. I'd like to watch some of the shows while they're airing instead of waiting 6 months for them to pop up on Netflix. There's no easy answers, I know that. But it doesn't seem like a whole lot of companies are moving towards more flexible options fast enough. Does that make sense? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I want to watch more TV, and the companies who have the television programming aren't giving me more options to do so. So that's my rant for today. And that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. If you have any comments on the delicious interview with Arjun Gupta or on my rant about television, please call in. That number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send an email to summer@sliceofscifi.com. We do read email comments on when they're related to a topic that we've talked about on the show, or any reviews that have popped up on the website. We're getting some more reviews in there pretty soon. And if you're feeling so inclined, please leave us a review on iTunes. Go to iTunes, search for Slice of Sci-Fi in the podcast area. If you're subscribed through iTunes, all the more easier for you. Leave a review for us there. I believe you can also leave a review for us on Stitcher and TuneIn. Every little bit helps. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google+, SliceOfSciFi. And as always, come to the website, SliceOfSciFi.com. We also have WritersAfterDark.com, KickAssMysticNinjas.com, and It'sComicBookDay.com for your other media entertainment consumption needs. Thank everyone who has been donating to the show. Your donations and your pledges did help get SliceOfSciFi.com moved to new hosting in a very relatively quick manner, so thank you all for that. Just so you know that your support is going to keep this going for you. Yeah, there's a circle in there somewhere. I think I lost it. I'm not sure. For other listeners who want to help support the show as well, you can use the PayPal buttons on the website, or you can go to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pledge $1, pledge $2, pledge $5. Every little bit does help. And like I said, it continues to keep the website rolling and the media flowing. We're looking at more options for video entertainment to keep people over on YouTube and the Slice of Sci-Fi TV podcast entertained. We are working on that. Your donations and pledges help support that as well. I'd like to thank my longtime cohort Tim Callender for the slick new logo that graces the website now, and also my good friends Sci-Fried, one of the best geek rock bands out there, for the awesome theme music that you guys hear every week. You want to hear some more geek rock from them? Check them out at sci-friedband.com. And that said, that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.